Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
After nearly four decades, an infamous murder mystery may be coming to an end in Sacramento, California. Throughout the 70s and 80s, a man known as the Golden State Killer and other names brutally raped and murdered and robbed in communities up and down California, terrorizing that state. But the serial killer eluded law enforcement for decades, apparently until Wednesday. Alec Emsley is criminal justice reporter with KQED in San Francisco. He's been covering this story. Alex, welcome.
Hey, howdy.
Alex, there was a press conference with local and federal law enforcement in Sacramento yesterday. Let me play you off the top here, Sacramento DA Anne-Marie Schubert, talking about this caller. Listen.
We all knew, as part of this team, that we were looking for a needle in a haystack. But we also all knew that the needle was there. In the last 6 days, and I emphasize the last 6 days, that passion, that persistence, and the knowledge finally came to an answer in this building behind us here, our crime lab.
Well, Alex, why do investigators believe that Joseph James DeAngelo is the person who raped and killed so many people in California in the 70s and 80s, and how was he caught?
Well, so much about this case relies on the advent and propagation of DNA forensic science. These crimes occurred throughout the state of California, from north to south, and initially they weren't thought to have been related. And it was only through DNA testing that came about really, you know, about a decade after the last murder that is attributed to this killer occurred, that investigators started to put these pieces together and realize that all of these crimes likely had the same perpetrator.
And do we know how they pinned it on DeAngelo now? Did he give DNA? Was he arrested? How did that happen?
That is still a little bit unclear. And you know, we're told by DA Schubert, as well as other law enforcement officials, that that's going to come out in as they, you know, move to file charges and this case moves toward trial. Basically, they had an unknown profile of a suspect, a DNA profile, and it's unclear how that then turned to focus on this suspect. But once they did, once they thought, hey, maybe this is the guy, then they collected what they called a discarded bit of DNA. That could be something, you know, dug out of a trash can. And were able to confirm, hey, this looks like a match. And then that's what we understand led to the arrest.
Well, Alex, we have to go back in time a little bit. Here's FBI agent Marcus Knutson in Sacramento yesterday talking about what it was like during those times in the 70s and 80s when the Golden State Killer was on this violent crime spree.
If you lived in Sacramento during that time frame, you have a story of what happened and where you were and what was going on. During that time frame, everybody was in fear. We had people sleeping with shotguns. We had people purchasing dogs. People were concerned.
Alex, remind us of the brutality of the Golden State Killer, also known as the East Area Rapist. What kinds of crimes did he commit, and what was it like in California at the time?
Well, I think it's been described as somewhat of like a siege of terror, particularly in the eastern part of Sacramento, where a lot of these rapes were occurring with some frequency. The general MO of the suspect was, you know, he would stalk a house, break in the middle of the night, usually by prying open, crawling through a window, and tie up the, you know, if it's a couple, the female and male together, separate them and basically put, he would pile dishes on top of the back of some of the male victims and say, if I hear one of these dishes crack, you know, if I hear him fall, then I'm going to kill you both. That was how he kind of was able to subdue one person while he then, you know, raped the woman. And in Sacramento, he wasn't known for killing a lot of his victims until a couple sort of saw him out on the street in 1978. But that wasn't during one of his burglaries. He shot them as they ran away, investigators think to try to keep himself from being identified. As his crimes progressed, he was more likely to kill in order to not leave witnesses.
Alex, what do we know about the suspect, Joseph James DeAngelo? One remarkable fact that's come out is that he was twice employed as a police officer in different communities in California. Do we know anything about his record as a cop and whether he used that position to help in his crimes?
Yeah, I mean, he was a cop throughout the 1970s, or the latter part of them anyway. He spent 3 years initially in a small central California town called Exeter. And during that time, from 1973 to 1976, there was in the area a spree of crimes that became attributed to the Visalia ransacker. And it's thought that some of those crimes may be attributed to the same suspect. In 1976, he changed jobs. He moved up to just north of Sacramento and was a police officer with the city of Auburn. And he was there from 1976 to 1979. In 1979, he was fired after being charged with shoplifting a hammer and dog repellent. And it's unclear whether either of those tools would have been used in any of the crimes, but that's something that investigators are looking into right now. Was he actually... You know, was he caught stealing something to be able to advance his interest in this, crime spree? He was absolutely, if it's true that all of these crimes that are attributed to in Sacramento, what they knew as the East Area Rapist, if it was all him, then he was committing these crimes for years as he was a police officer with the city of Auburn.
And Alex, just before we go, what's next for the suspect here in terms of court appearances or further investigation?
Well, so far, there have been four murder charges filed against DeAngelo. And, you know, there's 12 murders that are attributed to his crime spree. So we're going to see a lot more charges coming together. Right now, they don't even know exactly where he's going to be tried. These crimes occurred in 10 counties throughout California, 10 potential venues, and they're trying to work out exactly where a trial will be held.
Alex Emsley, criminal justice reporter for KQED, a remarkable case. Alex, thank you.
Thank you.